This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello, I'm Vasco Myers, Dean Beck's entertainment bitch, on the line. Hey Joysters, Australia's an outdoor kind of country. People only go inside to use the toilet, and that's only a recent development. Outdoors now, it's been raining for ages in Queensland. Hipsters and flipsters in the know. Access qld.gov.au/floods/donate or call into any Australia Post office. Maybe, if it's easier, any of the five major banks. Sharing your love, donation style. Help raise funds for Queensland flood victims. Remember, calm and assertive, Joysters. This is Vasco Myers, the man who succeeded by saying what everyone else is thinking. And everyone's thinking giving to qld.gov.au/floods/donate.
Good afternoon, Dean Beck with you on this special edition of Joy 94.9's On The Line. We're having a look at the floods in the southeast region of Queensland. It has affected thousands of people, thousands of streets flooded. Brisbane is awash with water in the CBD area. And of course, there are outlying regions still rain falling as we speak, and other areas warned that the floods are still coming their way.
Hey, you guys, this is David Lim from Joy 94.9's Different Strokes. Look, we've all heard the words tragedy, disaster. Talk is over. It's time for action. You can do something. You can donate and help out the people that are affected by the Queensland floods. You can donate through the Queensland Premier's website, which is qld.gov.au/floods/donate, or you can do so at your local Australia Post offices, or they're also taking donation at all the major banks. Let us know here at Joy. Once you've done that, you can call us, you can text us, you can email us. This is our thing. This is our community. This is our move to action. Let's do it together.
Call Joy.
1300-JOY-949. SMS 0427-JOY-949. Email on air at joy.org.au.
You
want a man?
You're with Dean Beck on Joy 94.9, special coverage of the floods. Now, of course, if you have friends or relatives in Queensland and you haven't been able to contact them, there is a hotline for friends and relatives concerned for the well-being of their friends and loved ones. The number is 1300 993 191. That number again, 1300 993 191. You can also look up the Queensland Government's website for all sorts of information pertaining to the Queensland floods. It details the regions and areas affected by the floods, and it's kept pretty much up to date. That is at qld.gov.au. Check it out.
Hi, this is the Royal Daltons.
Yes, Glenn and Michael here, and we want you to help those affected by the worst floods in Australia's history.
All you got to do is just donate whatever you can. Go to qld.gov.au/floods/donate.
Yes, it's as easy as that, and make sure you let us know here at Joy how much you donated, and we will be sure to acknowledge you on air.
Call Joy.
1300-JOY-949. SMS 0427-JOY-949. Email on air at joy.org.au. You want a man?
Of course, with this big flood disaster comes the traumatic aftermath. That's when psychologists and counsellors come into play. Joining me on the line is Dr. Susie Burke. She is a psychologist with the Disaster Reference Group. Susie, welcome on the line.
Hello.
Susie, when does your services start to kick into play?
Well, really, our services are not needed right now. It's usually in the months following when people who are not doing so well often require the help of psychologists and other counsellors. But right now, the best help that people get is often from family and friends and comes through having a sense of safety and calm and order restored in their lives.
Susie, we experienced the horrific Black Saturday bushfires here in Victoria, and the whole state was very much in mourning. Is a similar sort of thing going to happen in Queensland?
Yes, undoubtedly there will be, you know, vast parts of Queensland where people are affected. Not only are the floods actually impacting in vast areas, but everybody can feel and empathise for the plight of those people who've been flooded out and had their lives so disrupted. So yes, the distress is very widespread.
I guess the point of difference between fires and floods is that, particularly with the Black Saturday bushfires, it was so immediate, so instant, whereas with the floods there's an awareness that it's coming, but that, I guess, could build an anxiety too, could it not?
You're right. It can build an anxiety, particularly because, as we keep hearing, this is just the start of the wet season and who knows what is to come. And so helping people to recognise what the warning signs of being anxious are and then being able to do things to calm themselves down is a really important part of coping in the long term, because this can go on for a long time.
In fact, there have been people who've been affected by these floods 10 days ago who were in the middle of cleaning up, and then they've been evacuated again. That repetitiveness has got to really play with your head.
Yes, it can be really distressing to be experiencing it over and over again, and that is what many people will no doubt experience in the coming weeks and months.
Dr. Susie Burke, can you tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Black Saturday bushfires and how you can transfer that that learning to what Queensland's now experienced?
Well, after the Black Saturday bushfires, many of the mental health professionals got together and jointly thought through and planned some appropriate ways of meeting the psychosocial needs of the many, many people who are affected. And we did this by looking at the needs of an affected population as being different depending on the level of distress that people might experience. And we agreed that in the first instance, in these days and weeks during and immediately after a disaster, what people most need is help to restore a sense of safety and calm and order, and to be connected back together again with family and friends that they might have become separated from, and to help them to find ways of helping themselves. So it's not about counselling at this stage at all. It's just about helping to promote safety and calm for people.
I recall following the Canberra bushfires quite a few years back that it wasn't till about 2 years afterwards that there was this massive need for counselling. I guess there's the rebuilding and recovery phase, which is a lot about the doing, but once you've done the doing, you've still got to deal with what's left in your head.
That's right. The impact can be really long-term, and people also recover differently. So whilst we know that the vast majority of people who are affected by disaster recover well on their own and maybe with the support and help of friends and family, there is a small minority, and it's usually only about, you know, say 10 to 15% of a population who are at risk of going on to develop further problems. And for them, the sooner we can provide help for them through, you know, some mental health services and counselling, the better. But there are always going to be an even smaller proportion of those people who don't seek help, who don't think that they're the people who need help, who might be then in trouble, you know, a year or even a couple of years down the track. And helping family members and friends to spot signs of distress and signs of somebody who's not recovering well is a really important part of them getting them to be able to seek the help that they might be needing.
And what do we look for? I mean, a lot of our listeners will have friends up there and we'll be talking to them over the next few weeks and months. What should we be listening for?
Well, in the immediate term, we would expect that people would be distressed, and we would expect that people might be wanting to talk about what's happened to them and be reliving some experiences. If that's still continuing, you know, months, a couple of months after an event, and it's not improving, and you know, some sense of normalcy has been restored in that person's life, but they're still not behaving as they were beforehand, or they're still experiencing a lot of flashbacks, or still not sleeping well, or doing other sort of maladaptive things like, you know, an increase of drinking, or, you know, taking substances and things like that, or not carrying out their job well, or not really being able to function in their family as they need to be, they would be warning signs that that's the person who's needing some extra support.
Dr. Susie Burke, how important is it for the survivors to know that there are people out there, like us all the way down here in Melbourne, that that care and are offering support?
Yeah, that's incredibly important, to feel as though there is a sense of concern and support, that there is help there. It's one of the really important factors of recovery, is to know that there is help and there are people who care and that you can access that help.
Now, one of the key points to help people through this is to have predictable ongoing contact with them. That's something that we can really be a part of even far away.
Yeah, you're actually picking up on two things there. What people need to be able to function well is a sense of routine. So having some predictable routines is very important. And the other thing that's really important for people is to have a connection with people that are important to them, so their family and their friends and their social supports. So yes, you're absolutely right. Those two things are very important.
And we really need to be quite careful of children's needs during this period, do we not?
Your children are particularly vulnerable during and after a disaster, and parents' concern about children is very well founded. And what children need and benefit from is actually something that parents can quite easily do. So, for example, again, it's about re-establishing familiar routines. Now, many children at the moment are in unfamiliar places, in evacuation centres or camped out at friends or family members, but even within that, parents can still find ways of establishing a routine around meal times and bedtimes and having rests and having play and, you know, telling stories and things like that.
One of the staff here at Joy 94.9 pointed out to me that it could be a quite unique situation with the gay and lesbian community in these affected areas, that perhaps a lover, maybe closeted, is missing or not around, and yet because there's not that out connection, they could be grieving yet not able to do so publicly.
Yeah, that's always a very difficult situation to be in, when you have got tremendous grief for something and it's not acknowledged publicly. And yet finding friends within your own community to support you and to be able to support you through that is very important at those times.
What is your role with the Disaster Reference Group?
Well, I'm just one member of many other experts in disaster recovery, half of whom actually reside in Queensland. But my job is actually to be sitting at the National Office for the Australian Psychological Society and coordinating the our disaster response from here for Australia.
And, of course, we would encourage anyone needing assistance and counselling to seek it during this time, would we not?
Absolutely. If people are feeling that they're needing some help, going to the GP is a really good starting place, and getting a referral to a counsellor can be helpful. And, of course, there's always the Lifeline crisis numbers for people who really feel as if they're needing something immediately and urgently.
Dr. Susie Burke is a psychologist with the Disaster Reference Group for the Australian Psychological Society. Thank you very much for joining us on the line.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Doug Pollard. Can I urge you to donate to the Queensland Flood Appeal? By doing so, you'll be supporting the members of the GLBTI community who, not that long ago, were helping us out during Victoria's Black Saturday bushfires. Call into your nearest bank, Australia Post Office, or donate online at qld.gov.au/floods/donate. That's qld.gov.au/floods/donate. Do give generously, and let us here at Joy know what you donated, and we'll acknowledge you on air. Thank you.
Call Joy.
1-300-JOY-949.
SMS.
0427-JOY-949. Email.
On air at joy.org.au.
You want to make okay.
Hi, it's Zoe from The Conch here. If you are wondering what you can do about the floods in Queensland and how you can help so many desperate people, particularly our GLBTI people, then please donate to the Queensland Flood Appeal. You can go to qld.gov.au/floods/donate. We can help build the businesses and get people back on their feet as quickly as possible with some of the basics that we all take for granted. Beds, things to cook in, all those sorts of things, let alone a telly. Who knows, maybe you'd even buy a radio for someone. They can listen to Joy 94.9. If there's some way that you can help, doesn't matter whether it's $5 or $50, then please go to queensland.gov.au/floods/donate and do whatever you can.
News of Australia's most devastating floods ever has, of course, reached international shores. Joining us on the line is our UK correspondent, Dan Vo.
Hello, Dan.
What are you hearing over there in the UK?
Well, at the moment, the story is the major headlines. It is basically topping almost every single TV or newspaper. I just want to first of all say my heart really does go out to the people of Brisbane. The stories that we've been seeing, what we've heard, it's just quite simply tragic. I mean, we kind of caught onto the story of the 4-year-old boy who was swept away by the water. It's the most heartbreaking thing I've ever heard, and it is incredibly difficult to be watching this footage on TV, especially you know, the Australians who are living overseas here, it's so difficult for us. You know, we've not seen an Australian street for quite a while, and to see it in the way, in the state that it is just, it's very, very difficult, I must say.
It's quite extraordinary, isn't it? And I can understand how it's shocking people all over the world.
I mean, the thing in London that they find quite difficult to understand is the fact that I think it took a little while for the story to pick up because, you know, people said, oh, look, we get floods all the time in the UK. I think when they started reporting saying that, you know, it's 5 times the size of the UK, I think that's when the penny really drops. People realise that this is actually a huge natural disaster.
And it extends from the coast a long way inland, and in some areas it's the floods are being created in the inland.
I mean, in terms of, if we speak about London just for a second again, the last time we've had a disastrous flood here, it was in 1928, the Thames flooded, and it was about 5 metres high. I mean, that was quite a big flood. But, I understand that the Bremer River in Ipswich, it's just slightly west of Brisbane, it's reached 19.4 metres yesterday. I get confused by what is my time, your time, but yeah, it was about 19.4 metres. And the other towns, about 30 towns have been affected, and they've been reporting peaks of 15, 16, 17. This is an astronomical scale for anybody in Europe. We don't see anything like this over here. So it's just, and for it to be so far inland, the other comparison is the fact that the size of this flood is the size of France and Germany combined. I mean, to think of two entire countries underwater is just absolutely staggering.
Our Aussie no worries spirit, what do Londoners think of that in regards to our fighting spirit, I guess, with the floods?
Yeah, look, the interesting thing is there's this whole, you know, she'll be right, mate, kind of theme that comes out of all these stories. And it's really funny, I've got to say, to hear a very posh accent to say, you know, she'll be right. Well, no worries, mate. I think the Aussie humour is really coming across in this, in terms of people seem to be just getting on with it, you know. There's, in all the footage that we see, there's no sense of panic. There's just a sense of calm. People know what they have to do, and they're going about doing it. And then you get images of, I'm sure you've seen the picture of the rugby star, Wally Lewis, his statue with the snorkel and the floaties. I mean, that's it's quite a beautiful image to have in amongst all this, because it really just does show that, you know, it's that whole notion of the Aussie battler, we will just get on with it and do it.
And as stupid as, some of the kids swimming and diving into the torrents, as stupid as that is, it's part of the Aussie larrikinism, I guess.
I think so, and it certainly comes across. There's another thing that, as well, which is quite interesting, is, you know, amongst all the pictures that we've got, I mean, you see people wading through the living room, collecting, you know, whatever photos and mementos they can. The supermarket shelves are being emptied, you know, people are buying up food. But there's this one image of the man from Ipswich who saved the kangaroo. I think that picture's getting a lot of currency here because it just really fascinates people. I understand that the RSPCA was putting out a call because they needed to clear their shelters, and you know, people came to help the RSPCA. They're taken in pets, and that notion of you know, the spirit of Australian compassion is really coming across. I don't want to compare the two disasters, but you know the picture from the Victorian bushfires of Sam the Koala?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, this is kind of that same notion where people will go out of their way to not only look after other people, but also the animals as well, to make sure that their welfare is looked after. So that's a really, something that's really lovely that's coming out of this as well.
Yeah, look, it's something that we haven't forgotten about either here at Joy 94.9. And we'll be interviewing a vet in regards to the animal situation to save the pets in Brizzy. You're getting pictures of crocodiles and empty shelves there in the UK.
We are. There's a picture that's been sent around. First of all, in London, you know, on Twitter, Brisbane is a trending topic, so it's quite, it's gone viral, I guess. And one of the pictures going around is the fact that a crocodile has washed up in one of the towns, and so that's people are sending that around, and they, you know, the whole thing about Australia from this, the point of view over here, is that it's just open desert. You know, people go, oh, it's just open desert. People surely aren't being really affected by this. Of course, the BBC has been backing this up by saying, no, you know, 20,000 homes are going to be affected, and that means about, you know, in the city of Brisbane, that means about 2 million people are going to be affected. So there's a lot of science that's being brought in to explain exactly what's going on in Australia, but people, you know, think that it's a desert and that it's got all this dangerous wildlife, and so there's a lot of there's stories going around where, you know, people are sending in photos of snakes in the water, or I hear that there was a bull shark that appeared in one town, you know, just floating around in the water.
I hope you're telling them all that we do keep crocodiles as household pets.
Yeah, that's right. It's the ones that we flush down the toilet, they come back to
exactly. Hey, Dan Vogt, thank you very much for being our UK correspondent and for bringing us up to date in regards to what is happening over there regards to the floods over here.
Sure, I hope everything sorts itself out. Dean, I'd love to know if there is a way that from overseas we can donate to the Brisbane flood appeal. So I'm sure you'll be able to pass on that information as well, so those listening overseas will be able to contribute to this as well.
Absolutely. In fact, you'll hear it very shortly. Dan Vogt, thanks for joining us on the line.
Great, thank you.
Hi, this is Tony Pittman from Joy 94.9's The Conch and Reality Check. And I'm just asking you if you have a few dollars extra to donate to the Queensland Premier's flood appeal to help the survivors of those devastating floods in Queensland. You can do that at the website qld.gov.au/floods/donate, or at an Australia Post office, or at any of the big banks. And if you do donate, please let us know and we'll acknowledge you here on air at Joy 94.9.
Call Joy.
1300-JOY-949. SMS 0427-JOY-949. Email on air at joy.org.au.
You want a Mac?
You're with Dean Beck on the line as we cover the floods in southeast Queensland. Just to bring you up to date with some more information, as far as the weather forecasts are concerned for that region, I'll tell you what, it's not looking good. There are flood weather warnings for Coopers Creek, the Burnett River and tributaries, the Condamine and Boulogne River systems, the Fitzroy River, the Lockyer, Bremer, Brisbane River, right through Brisbane City, of course, Logan River, the Mary River, the Mooney River, the Weir and the McIntyre Rivers. Now, that is pretty much got the southeast corner of Queensland covered. Of course, there are coastal waters wind warnings for the southeast Gulf of Carpentaria, strong wind warnings throughout, and more rain ahead by the looks of it. So please keep your donations coming. You can go to any Australia Post office, of course. You can also go to any of the major banks and make a donation. And that, of course, will go directly to the Queensland Premier's Disaster Relief Fund. Now, speaking of doing their little bit to help out with the Queensland floods, the Exchange Hotel, recently renovated, is doing what they did during the Black Saturday bushfires. They had a big night of entertainment and all of the money went through to the relief for that. The same is happening again for the floods. Joining us on the line to talk about it is the owner of the Exchange Hotel, Kevin Atwood. Welcome.
Okay, hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you, Kevin. Tell me what you've got lined up to support the floods.
We're going to do a similar thing to what we did for the fire relief. Except we're doing it on a Sunday this time. We did Wednesday last time because of the urgency, but we're going to do it on a Sunday week. And from 6 o'clock on Sunday the 23rd, I've forgotten the date now, Sunday the 23rd, we'll have sausage sizzle going on then in our new courtyard at the back, and there'll be music to dance to and all the rest of it, and we will have a plethora of Melbourne entertainment from drag queens, comedians, maybe TV and radio personalities. We're trying to work on that now. We've got all sorts of people who want to try and, you know, make an appearance on the night just to do their little bit. Yes, there'll be, we'll have some sing-alongs in the piano and in the Pamela's parlour, that little back room, and it should be a really fun night, and all we just want to do is get people to come along, buy a few drinks, maybe dig deep in a couple of the raffles we'll have, and just see what we can do to raise as much as we can for our sisters and friends and relatives and others in Queensland.
Kevin, you have recently renovated the Exchange.
Yeah.
Walk us through what you've done there, seeing you're pretty much a standalone venue on that strip these days, aren't you?
Yeah, well, the market's going through some changes at the moment, but we moved our smoke. Well, what we had to do was we have an upstairs smoking area for the hotel, but we found that what that did was it basically split our crowd in half, because they were either in watching the shows or they were watching or up on the roof having a smoke under the thing, and it gave, when you walked into the hotel, you tended to see the place look like a bit of a cave because it was empty in the front bar because they were either in one room or the other. So what we did was we integrated a smoking area into the back of the rear of the hotel, and now it's like the hub of all the three bars, and so you can walk straight in from the showroom out to have a smoke or catch up with your friends. You can go from the public bar out there. You can go from the lounge area out there. And it's just a great little space. People have been really enjoying it's a little bit Tuscany. You feel like you feel like you're a little bit in, like you're somewhere in maybe Florence or something like that. It's very, very, very gay.
Very nice. Is it meant that with this sort of better flow, does it mean you can fit more people in?
Well, we still have the same numbers or so, but what it means is that instead of us looking like, you know, we've got, you know, we can, which we can look, because some of the places can hold up to 500 people or more. If you've got 100 people all in the show bar, a couple of hundred people and nowhere else, it can look like we're empty, but we're not. And so now, because it's a centre hub, when you're in the public bar playing a game of pool, you can see everybody at the back, and when you're in the back area, you can see everybody dancing. If you're dancing, you can see people out the back. And so it's just a better working area now. It's a lot more functional. And, people have just been raving about how much more accessible things are. And if you don't smoke, you've got three very good areas, including the dance area and show area, where no smoking is. And if you do smoke, well, now there's a roofless area where you can stand there and with your friends that don't smoke, and you don't get smoke in their face or whatever. So,
Kevin Atwood, when you were raising money for the Black Saturday Fire Relief Funds, do you remember how much money you raised that time around?
Well, it was $20,000, which was just unbelievable. And we did that all in one night, and that was everybody putting in their the money over the bar. We'll be doing a similar thing. We're charging a nominal fee of $5 on the door as people come in. All of the door take goes to the fund, all of that. But some people, you know, we'll be encouraging people to throw more in, like 10 or 20. If some people can only afford a couple of dollars, that'll be fine. But all the money on the front door goes to the fund. As much money as we can collect on the bars, we'll go to the fund after we've covered, you know, the cost of stock and et cetera like that. And we've even got some suppliers throwing a bit of that in.
Now, one thing that we don't often acknowledge enough is the fact that the drag queens get asked all the time to do charity work and to volunteer their time. Will they be? Will the entertainers be volunteering their time for this event?
Yes, they will. All the acts that will appear will volunteer their time, and we've got, as I say, comedians, and we've actually looking at a couple of TV radio personalities, plus might even be yourself, get up there and do something for us. We've got some raffles.
You wanted personalities, didn't you?
Pardon?
You wanted personalities.
Well, that's what I meant. So, but all sorts of people will be coming along. We've got there's a few shows in Melbourne. We're hoping that some of the cast will come down from, some of them, because, obviously a lot of our dancers are in a lot of the shows in Melbourne, so we're trying to call on them to come in and, come up on stage and offer their support. And hopefully with all that, we'll get a real range of entertainment right through the night, not just drag. But as you say, drag stars are probably one of the best, as you know, for getting up there and doing something for a cause, and we'll be having most of Melbourne here if we can.
Fantastic. Well, Kevin Atwood, pass on my regards to your bar manager, Mark Chilton, and that very sexy barman, Michael.
I should put out the bar. All the details will be in the papers next week. Both MCV and Southern Star and Joy are totally behind this, and that's just great. And you'll see all the details and who's going to be on and what have you listed. So as much as we can, but obviously, if someone wants to perform on the night or do something to help on the night, feel free to call me or the hotel or whatever, and we can certainly use all the help we can get.
Fantastic. It's Sunday the 23rd. From what time, Kevin?
6 p.m. And we're open until 3 a.m. if that's how long people want to stay.
Kevin Atwood, proprietor of the Exchange Hotel in Prahran. Thanks for joining us on the line.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Kia ora, this is Jono.
And Leo from the Sound Museum.
As a couple of Kiwis, we're always happy to lend a helping hand to the Aussies.
We may compete with you in sport, tourism and winemaking, but at times like this, we stand together as one.
You can help too by making a donation to the relief effort.
Together we can get Queensland back in business.
Thanks for your support. Haere mai.
Jean Beck with you. This has been Joy 94.9's coverage of the floods in the Queensland area. I want to thank Paul Martin from Quack, Ray McHareth from Q News for his rather gripping account of what happened there over the last 24 hours in Brisbane. Craig Hewlett from Community Radio 4OUR 101.5 FM in Caboolture. A very big thank you to Kevin Atwood, who is putting on that special fundraiser at the Exchange Hotel, Sunday the 23rd, from 6 p.m. I'd also like to thank our regular contributors, the wonderful Vasco Myers and Dan Vo, all the way from the UK. Thank you very much for joining me on the line. Dean Beck with you today. It's been an absolute honour to present this very special edition of On The Line, covering Queensland's flood situation. Keep well. Bye for now.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.